Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome into the Rob Brown Show and the Fight Club, where I bumped Mario. Why? Because I can. Because I felt like, you know, I wanted this segment to move up. So Mario, he can just wait. And what's he going to do?
Freaking Mario.
What's he going to do?
Show up at 9:20.
He lost his strength when he cut his hair. It happens. Speaking of someone who's lost something, maybe, allegedly, possibly, we got to talk about Corey Graves.
We got to talk about Corey Graves.
And here are the things they threw up on X. Corey Graves said, imagine chasing your dream, then being told, then in parentheses, not deciding, that you're no longer physically able to pursue your dream. Then you dedicate your life to something dream adjacent and being pretty awesome at it. And then when it's time to enjoy the fruits of your labor, being told you're not famous enough for your own job, just in case you're wondering where I've been. And then the next thing he said is, I've got a lot to say. Don't miss WWE's NXT tonight on the CW, which he did not appear on.
Yep.
I have a theory before we get to the thing. All right, so I've been speculating, some other people online have also, about a faction of disgruntled people what are you, a faction of disgruntled people?
Yeah, me and
are you saying you're one of those people?
I'm in the camp.
Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
Maybe Seth Rollins, possibly. Of course, someone who's going up against Cody here pretty soon, who just happens to be from Canada and jump people all the time. And then
he's right, though.
He is right.
He's
absolutely right. And now we've got somebody else who, according to stories, like last year, was cleared to wrestle again. I think the main thing, and a lot of people are saying this is a work. Other people are saying this is a shoot. Apparently his own brother says, no, this is real, which is exactly what you would say if it's a work. How hard is it to get a true work through in this day and age with all the internet and everything? It has got to be as real as possible to fool at least some of the people. Has to be.
Look, if you want kayfabe to exist in 2025, you have to not do kayfabe, right? Like, you have to do things that are... listen, I'm not gonna give too much in the way of details here. But what this story is for Corey Graves, shoot or work is irrelevant. This is something that has happened to me. Like, Lonzo is well aware of the details. Effectively, I busted my ass. I got told how great I was, how much everything was appreciated. And when an opportunity came up, I quite literally got told, you're not famous enough for this job, despite the fact that you have worked towards it for a very long time. We're going to go with somebody who has never stepped foot in the building before because they're more famous than you. At the end of the day, sometimes we are given a reminder that the people who run the show, and I don't care where you work, this is true, with rare exceptions of some mom and pops, the people who run the show don't give a damn about you. They care about jacking up the profit. And if you get a chance, and for the record, when I got told, hey, dude, we really like you. We appreciate the hard work. We want you around. But you're not famous enough for this job that you have made it clear that you are elevating yourself to or trying to. This other famous person who you've never talked to before is famous enough. We're giving it to him. It was a slap in the face reminder that at the end of the day, it's just about maximizing the profit. And this guy came in with a bunch of viewers. If this story is a shoot, I get it. If it's a work, what a lead up to what is likely McAfee v. Corey Graves down the line.
This is what a lot of people are speculating, but McAfee has said many times that he cannot pass the wellness test, the drug test.
Yeah, because I thought I recalled at some point, and I could be wrong, but I thought I recalled at some point that WWE had either eliminated or eased the restrictions on talent smoking the Mary Jane.
They have. I recall reading the same thing. But yeah. I'm sure there's probably limits to your imbibing and how much shows up in your blood or your urine or whatever. And maybe you can't do it because of that.
I don't know.
Could be a work, but it's not. I mean, look at his eyes sometimes.
Listen,
he's
McAfee 100%. Is a partaker for sure. I don't think anybody's. And again, I don't care. Like, have at it. That doesn't bother me at all. It ain't for me. It gives me anxiety attacks. I don't care. Do your thing. Knock it out.
I care if it's illegal.
In a lot of states, it's not. Right?
Right.
In a lot of states, it's not.
I don't know if it's legal in Indianapolis or not. And also, I'm curious about what ESPN's policy is for that. But
here's the thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what their policy is. What matters is, are you bringing eyes to the viewership or not? We saw what happened on College Game Day with the addition of Pat McAfee. It's a brand new show, and it's got more viewers than it's had in years. Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, whatever show McAfee is on, he has brought a brand new universe to the WWE universe, so they're all in on this. The reality is, whether it is a work or whether it is a shoot is irrelevant. All that matters is, this story is something, and this is what wrestling is about. This story is about nothing else for me of I am in Graves' shoes. I have been there. I know that feeling personally. And now, even though I'm a McAfee guy, if that's where this is going, for this, even though he's a heel, I am Team Corey Graves. And if it is a shoot and Corey Graves is legitimately complaining about his reality, I'm still Team Corey Graves on this.
All right. The other thing is, I didn't watch Corey back in the day because I didn't watch NXT. I heard he was pretty good.
He was good.
And here's the thing, but is he good enough to carry a match against McAfee, who hasn't wrestled in a really long time, and neither has Corey Graves? So I don't think I know WrestleMania is still a couple months away. I do believe that this is a work, but I don't think the McAfee match is what it'll be. I think it'll be something else.
Booker T.
Which would be awesome.
It
would have been awesome 15 years ago.
Right. You can't put two guys. Listen, if you're going to put him in there, you're obviously going to put him in there against somebody who can carry him,
right,
who can get the ring rust knocked off in a real audience.
McAfee's not that guy.
It ain't Pat McAfee. I agree. Which is kind of part of the reason that I lean towards thinking, I think this might actually be a shoot because it makes sense. Listen, it doesn't make sense to, as much as I love Bad News Barrett, it doesn't make sense to replace Corey Graves with Bad News Barrett. Corey Graves is excellent as that tweener leans heel commentator, especially when you put him up with a Cole. You put him up against a Micah Cole. Now, Cole and McAfee are a tag team. Now, they're not going anywhere. But you could put him up with any of the generic face announcers. Put him with Tessitore. They're going to be great. Although, I'm interested because I do wonder how Tessitore would react to have a play-by-play commentator who is openly adversarial towards him. Wade Barrett's not really openly adversarial towards Joe Tessitore. Corey Graves would be. I honestly believe that this is at least partially a shoot because you pull Corey Graves randomly, then you pulled him off of NXT, which again could be part of the shoot. But it makes sense to me that I wouldn't pair him with Tessitore, but you paid Tessitore a lot of money to come over. I can't put him on a three-man desk with McAfee because he's not going to outshine McAfee, and Cole would get pushed to the limit with these two yapping at each other. I genuinely can see this being a legitimate shoot from Corey Graves. But again, part of the reason when wrestling's at its best, it's because there is somebody we can put ourselves into their shoes, and I can.
Knew this was coming, but I thought Tessitore would be gone. That's what I thought. I thought they would go back to Corey and Barrett being back together on SmackDown. That's what I thought was going to happen. Them keeping a hold of Tessitore. By the way, I understand. I understand why you keep him. It's legitimacy. And he brings that. And he's pretty good and getting better all the time. And he understands wrestling. You can tell he does. His voice is annoying to a lot of people, but put that aside.
You can tell when they bring over an established play-by-play guy because it gives them that credibility of feeling like a real sport. But then it's very obvious when that person is just clearly not a wrestling fan. Oh, what's his face that I used to dog relentlessly because he very clearly had never watched wrestling and got thrown into the deep end. And I will acknowledge that there is a bit of it that is personal to me as somebody who does this for a living, would kill to be on one of those shows and is a wrestling fan that could call a match. It is slightly personal, but the other aspect of it is Tessitore is a wrestling fan. Like, he gets a move wrong every now and then, but by and large, he's a wrestling fan who understands when to let a match breathe and when to jump up there.
Cole gets a move wrong every once in a while.
Sure.
And gets destroyed online when he does it.
Absolutely. But I would say this. I think to have a Tessitore or a Cole, you've got to pair them up with somebody who is genuinely electric.
See, here's the other problem. Corey doesn't work well in a three-man booth. They've had three-man booths in WWE before. AEW does it well. I think they do. But there are some times where there's a lot of clashing between the two analysts where on AEW where the guy calling play-by-play is getting a little bit lost. And that has to do with major personalities. And Corey Graves is a major personality. And you can't put him in a three-man. You just can't.
You got to do a three-man desk, you have to have the archetypes. You have to have the straight man play-by-play. You got to have a face and you got to have a heel. Can't have two heels, can't have two faces, can't have three different persons.
I liked it when Byron was there because you had the straight-up face. But Corey was so vicious to Byron, and after a while, it got a little cringy.
I don't disagree. I think that the three-man booth works for AEW because you have a clear face, you have a clear heel, and you have the clear straight man on play-by-play. And sometimes you can throw in a legend like a JR to spice it up a little bit. You could do a three-man booth with Tessitore as the straight man in the middle. The problem is you have two heels in Barrett and Graves, and you can't put them up next to each other because otherwise they're just the same guy in a different voice.
I think Barrett could pull off the face. I think he could.
Could he? Yes. But he's one of those guys that cat's just the natural heel. He just is. It's going to feel forced as a face, natural as a heel.
See,
so it makes sense to have him on that side.
He's been more on the face side when it comes to Drew McIntyre and a couple of those guys.
That's because they're heels, right? Like a heel is a face for other heels. The guy who jumps up and says Drew McIntyre is right, and by the way, he is also a heel. And if that person's a heel, I can't, because here's the thing. What are you going to do with Corey Graves? If you have him come in here and go, oh, you know, Kevin Owens is right. He's just taking it too far. Well, now Corey Graves is a face, but he's not a face guy either.
All right, so.
I'll tell you what I do right now, and this is going to be my controversial take, and then we get to play. You want to know what I do? Booker T's gone. I'm moving Corey Graves to NXT.
Oh, I agree.
I'd get rid of Booker T.
No, I would too.
But, and I love Book.
Yeah, I would do that too. But if this is work, he's going to have to attack someone from the announce crew. He's going to have to do it. And if you are going to set up him against McAfee, if that's what people are speculating, he's going to have to beat Michael Cole up. So he's going to have to come in and beat up Michael Cole. I mean, there's no, that's the only way to set up him and McAfee if that's what they're going to do.
I think you could do, so the problem you have with McAfee.
And sometimes Michael Cole just needs to be beat up, and this might be about that time.
The problem you have with McAfee is because of all the other things that he does, the ESPN shows, the Game Day, the Pat McAfee show, et cetera.
Yeah,
in order to do anything with McAfee, he has to carry that over to all these other products. And while I know that ESPN...
Best time of the year for this, though.
I know why. For him. I know why ESPN is happy to have McAfee doing WWE. They got their partnership going. When it gets to the point that it is like McAfee showing up in a crutch in a walking boot or whatever, then ESPN has their non-wrestling audience, of which it is the majority, that start going, it's impacting, blah, 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 and they're just never going to jump on board. I agree that Cole is likely the target here, but then the question is, who stands up to Corey Graves on behalf of Michael Cole? Because if you do it with Barrett, now you're turning him face. You have the same problem.
It has to be Mac. I'm just saying, if the McAfee scenario, which everyone believes it's going to be, a lot of people believe it's going to be, he would have to beat up Michael Cole. And this is the best time of the year for McAfee because he's almost done with college football. He doesn't do anything with ESPN for the entire until August. So even if he were in a walking boot or whatever, he will recover before then. On his own show, he can do that and get away with it, and it's fine. On game day, I see what you're saying. But by the time game day comes back around, he will have recovered from whatever supposed injury he has.
I think ESPN is fine with having, you know, the lights go out during the McAfee show and the Wyatt 6 sounder playing or whatever, because they can pass. It's 5-6 seconds we can pass on. It's kind of like our boss when the boss is like, I don't care if you go off sports, but don't do it for the whole segment of the long segment or whatever. Like, there's a spot, a time, a place for it. And I think if you were going to do something with him that led back to that, it would end him being attacked and whatever it would lead to. I'm just speculating. It's just subjective
opinion.
Have you
forgotten the Adam Cole angle?
I do remember the Adam Cole angle. But I also remember that the Adam Cole angle was done, if I recall correctly, the Adam Cole angle was done way before the Pat McAfee show became the Thunderdome version of what it is now. It was when he was doing it in, like, the small office with the desk, and it was the guest sat on a couch and not in the middle of a gigantic-ass, you know, dedicated basketball gym. So I think it's a little bit different now that they're paying him as much money as they are. But, again, all of that to the side. The question mark in here is whether this is a work or whether this is a shoot, I don't know. And that's when wrestling's at its best, is it not?
I completely agree. All right, we got time for, like, one more thing. Penta's debut, what did you think?
I thought it kicked ass, dude. I thought he was exactly what I tried to tell you all Penta was when he was at AEW. And I think it is, I'll tell you what the highlight of this was, aside from a slammer of a match with the Master Chad Gable.
And the perfect person for him to wrestle
Absolutely.
With. I mean, you don't want to put him with another luchador. You know that's going to be good. You want to put him with someone who's not a luchador.
Yep.
And he was the perfect
slammer
guy.
Of a match, and I'll tell you the first thought I had. The first thought I had is AEW had that in the back pocket and you did nothing with it. That was my thought. You had the ability to have that guy come out and tell stories via matches, and you sat him in the back corner for a year and a half and did nothing with him. Now, granted, Penta wanted out of AEW to come to WWE, so I don't know that it would have mattered. But if you would have used Penta the way that Penta showed you he can go on Monday night, if you'd have been using him 2 years ago and making him a highlight of your show, AEW would be in better shape.
All right, one last thing. As far as Penta goes, I was lied to for many years. He didn't need an interpreter. He speaks not perfect English, very good English. Was that shocker for you? That was
no.
It was for me, because he just...
No, because I knew him from not just AEW, but okay. other promotions
right.
too, and he has spoken English in the past. They were trying to sell the angle for a long time in AEW of, like, oh, he's a luchador, he's an outsider here to kind of, like, blah, blah, blah. And I frankly, it's kind of disappointing, I think. But no, I think Penta showed you exactly how good he is and can be as both a wrestler and a storyteller. And it was one more spot that I'm going as an AEW fan, as a fan who owns not wrestling merch, just AEW merch, because I like to wear it out as a wrestling fan. This is one of those spots that I go, Tony, you kept that guy in the locker room while you kept sending out a bunch of goofballs to tell the same story over and over. That's a problem.
Also, my favorite present-day luchador mask, Penta.
It's a dope look. I will say this. When he got to the end of the promo and he turned to the camera and he opened the eyes with the contacts in and the skull teeth underneath the mask, it's like, that's badass, dude. That's badass. You know, it's not badass, Mario, and he's up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I was going to let Mario talk about UFC 311.
See, I was trying to fix it. I had it set up earlier before I realized that Fight Club had been moved and I should have fixed it. I screwed up, so I'm going home now.
No, you're not. You're going home in 38 minutes.
Okay, because I'm sure Mario never makes those kind of mistakes.
Well, that's why he's
on the national show.
That's why he's a national executive producer.
Well, I'm just a lowly local executive producer,
Hayden as Mario Heron, executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear every single weeknight on this and find Odyssey stations everywhere from 7 until 11 p.m. joins us here on the Rob Brown Show, ordinarily at 9 o'clock, but he had something to do this a.m., so pushed it back 20 minutes to join us now. What's up, fella?
Nothing much, but living the dream. Talk about a great weekend of sports coming up. UFC 311. NFL division round weekend. Yeah, NBA, got college basketball. I mean, it's nirvana. It's heaven. I'm in heaven. Are you in heaven?
It's a really good
I'm curious on the national level, when like a UFC event comes up, do they buy it for you?
No.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Just curious.
Are you kidding me? No.
Okay, so all those aspirations we have of moving up the ladder and making it to the top of the food chain, and you still got to buy your own stuff? That sucks.
Wow. Real dream killer over here, Lonzo. Happy Thursday morning.
Mario Heron joining us here on the show. All right, big dog. Let's talk a few minutes of wild card round NFL football here on the show. We spent some time earlier talking Baltimore and Buffalo. We'll do it again here. Lonzo and I both went keys to the game. Buffalo stopped Derrick Henry. Baltimore stopped James Cook. It's basically, to me, whoever can success. Like, I hate when football is this simple because it kind of makes me sound like an idiot on the radio. But this is one of those games that, to me, I go, hey, Lamar and Josh Allen likely going to slug it out with each other. I think you're talking about, especially if Zay Flowers is going to miss the weekend, which we don't know if he is or not yet. You're talking about relatively equal wide receiving cores. To me, this is one of the simplest games we'll see in the playoffs. Team that better stops and executes the run game wins this game.
I do kind of agree with you on that. It's a make each team one-dimensional, and like, let's see what happens in there. And, you know, let's say Zay Flowers doesn't play in this game, and then you're able to really slow down Derrick Henry, and then you're forcing Lamar to really rely on an older Mark Andrews to make plays, Isaiah Likely to make plays, Bateman to make plays. Like, that's a far easier route to victory than going, hey, Derrick Henry, why don't you have over 100 yards on us again and, you know, have two touchdowns? So that's very hard to beat the Ravens when you allow that to happen. On the flip side for the Buffalo Bills, I think you have to establish a run in order to win this game, just because Josh Allen can't be your run game. It can't be your passing game all in one against this good of a team. Like, he needs someone to help carry that load in this game. That all being said, actually, you know, speaking of it, one of my favorite like plays in this game is James Cook under 56.5 rushing yards. this Ravens defense, while the secondary struggled a little bit this year, they've kind of figured it out now. Their rush defense has never, ever taken a dip this year. Every single game, they bring it, they stuff it, they dominate up front. The front seven's very hard to beat. And I don't know if I see James Cook being able to get it going on the ground. 39 yards in the first matchup. It just doesn't seem like he's going to have a big day on them. That's probably my most confident bet in this. And maybe an Allen or Lamar touchdown too, because I think both of them are going to have to rely on their legs to get into the end zone at some point.
I agree with the second. The James Cook one is interesting to me, and this is not me pushing back on it, because as much of a Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen fan, as much as a Buffalo fan as I am, at the end of the day, I'm picking Baltimore in this game. And if you think James Cook is not getting to 60 yards rushing, that leaves me a little bit more confident in Baltimore as a one-point favorite to cover it up.
I'm with you. I think Baltimore wins this game as well. And I think that's the lean into it, too. Like, if you think an under on James Cook, then you probably think the Ravens are going to win this game. Similar to, I think, if you enter this and go, oh, I'm going over Derrick Henry, everything, right? Over in yards, rushing plus receiving, like touchdown score, anything like that. I think then you also result in a Baltimore victory. I think that's just how it's going to go for this matchup. It's going to be the best game of the weekend, like by far, and I can't wait for it. I was talking to Ryan Horvath 2 days ago about it, and he was like, you know, I don't even know if I want to like make a solid big bet in this game and just be a football fan and watch it. And I was like, I completely understand it. Then 2 days later, we have 3 bets in it. But you know what? That's just the life of a degenerate.
We've turned it into a career. Isn't it wonderful? Hayton S. Mario, executive producer of BetMGM tonight, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, talking a little NFL divisional round. The Texans, Saturday afternoon, headed up to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Of the 4 games, if you got to miss one, this is the one, right? Like, well done to the Texans for smoking the Chargers. I think maybe the Chargers weren't quite ready as we thought they were for that spotlight. You'll have better insight on that than I do. But as well as the Texans played after the first quarter of that game against the Chargers, if the Chiefs are going to lose the game, it's not to Houston.
It's not to Houston at all. Hand up, I was completely wrong about that game. I thought the Chargers would come out swinging, and when it started, I thought, oh my God, this could end up getting really ugly, right? Like, they march right down the field, get 3 points, and then you get the turnover on the first play of the game for the Texans on the offensive side of the ball, and I was like, oh my gosh, man, this could be, you know, a butt kicking. Harbaugh could really, you know, put a stamp on this. And then everything falls apart. We remember that, like I said, Quinn Johnston came back down from, you know, heaven and told everyone, yeah, I'm not very good at football. Joshua Palmer didn't play. It was Ladd everything. Had to rely on Ladd to be, you know, Superman. He was, but team still fell short. Herbert played a terrible game. But Texans in this matchup, I think this game's going to be brutally low scoring with how good Texans defense and how good Chiefs defense is. I mean, Houston's also, like, this past season, guys, has hit the under the second most in the NFL. And this Chiefs defense is top 5 in points allowed. And you're also in KC, where it's insanely cold, and Arrowhead, where the fans are right in your face and they bow down on you. And, you know, home of the Chiefs, they do that bull crap that no one really likes. And, you know, people find extremely annoying. And, you know, if you probably do it, you're probably, you know, a nerd, kind of like a weird guy. You know, you ever get that kind of feeling?
I can absolutely turn you off. And just drop you from the stream. You understand that power. I have that power, and I could absolutely do that. But you're right. There are a lot of weird fans out there, and some of them root for Chicago.
Some do. And you know what? Those are my people. I like those guys.
Well, you don't think we're really going to fight, do you? Because, I mean, what's the point? In the end, Chiefs win.
He has the ultimate card.
Go Pelicans, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Did you see the loss to the Hawks last night? The Hawks had no one.
Yeah.
That was really bad.
That was real bad.
That was bad.
I agree. I'm
what are the odds on the Chiefs actually winning 3 in a row?
So a 3-leg parlay with 3 consecutive wins back to back to back. I assume if anybody's going to have listen, you're taking a team this weekend that just hung a 32 spot on, I don't know, Mario, tell me if I'm being unfair, one of the, maybe they are pretty good, they got some Momo right now, Chargers, You turn around the next week, you are 8.5-point favorites over the Texans. You're not going to see a line inside of a field goal until you play Baltimore, Buffalo. I do think, I'll put this out there now, Mario, fair or unfair. The winner, assuming nobody gets hurt, nothing catastrophic, the winner of Baltimore, Buffalo, I'm going to say at the worst is a pick 'em against Kansas City.
I think it depends how Kansas City wins. Like, if Kansas City barely beats Texans, I think you're right. I think it's going to be like a pick-up. Probably Chiefs will open like a 2-point favorite, 2.5. If they like go out there and like it's 28-3 and like they just smoke the Texans, then I think the Chiefs might open like 3-point favorites over the Baltimore or Buffalo.
Barely win is what they do. That's what they've done all year. I mean, I know, so but that's probably what it's going to be.
Yeah, but like if they somehow like, you know, Kelce 2 touchdowns, you know what I mean, and it's just like a, I mean, just a butt kicking, then I could, maybe it's different.
Here's my hot take, Hayton asked Mario, for the divisional round weekend.
Okay.
Both NFC games are upsets. Washington and the Rams are both moving on.
Okay. I don't think they just walk into Detroit and beat Detroit at all. They have Montgomery back. You have Sonic and Boom.
Can I give you my thoughts on it? Give me my thoughts on it.
I'm fully excited.
It turns into...
I'm looking at his name back there, and he's asking you for permission to give his thoughts.
Yeah, well, it's called drama, all right? It's called drama. Here's my thoughts on Detroit-Washington. It turns into like a 42-40, 37-35 shootout, okay? Mm-hmm. The Lions' defense... And we did this on Tuesday's show with Lonzo. If you look at like the Lions' last like 6-8 games, they've been giving up 31 spots to teams less talented than the Washington Commanders, okay? Including a couple at the crib. They let Josh Allen hang 48 on their heads at home. They are, yes, they're getting some guys back, but they are not healthy on defense. Jaden Daniels has had like 10 chances to crumble under pressure. He has won now 5 consecutive games by putting them in a position to win on the last play of the game, either off of his touchdown or off of a field goal. He's not a guy that's feeling pressure like ridiculously for a rookie. Yes, I agree the Lions can score, but they're also giving up in the 30s to teams not as good as the Commanders. And if they do that and it comes down to a late game, a late score game, why not trust Washington, who's done it 5 consecutive times, including a road game at Tampa?
Run game. That's my biggest worry for the Commanders, though, is you're 27th in rushing defense, and then in away games, you give up 145 rushing yards, and then you face a healthy Gibbs and a Montgomery. What if the Lions just go to, well, just establish run the football, and it's one of those where they dominate and they win, and Goff throws for, you know, 171 yards, but Gibbs has 100 yards, Montgomery has 3 touchdowns, and they just take the clock down, and Jaden Bailey gets chances. That's only my worry in that matchup. If I like was backing the Commanders, is what if Gibbs and Montgomery just have a day and they can't stop him on the ground, and then Jaden Daniels barely even gets his moment of clutchness of, oh, I can go out and win this game. That's the only thing that would give me pause on that, because Jaden Daniels did prove it last week that he's not. Even as a rookie,
he's not normal, dude.
No, he's not normal. No.
Gosh, if only somebody would have said that before the season started.
Come on. This is all about him being right. That's why he's picking Washington to win.
You got to keep going with it. Yeah,
what? It's all because I am right. That's the fun part.
So far, you seem to be correct. We'll see.
Even if Washington loses this game to the number one overall seed and the shortest odds to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC, if this game is at like a 42-7 blowout, I'm still right about JD.
Yeah. You're playing with house money currently.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And then there's the other one. And this one I feel is an upset. LA on the road at Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts is like the 20th best passer in the NFC, in the NFL, statistically speaking. What did the Rams do last week to beat the Vikings? They just blew up the line of scrimmage, kept Sam Darnold contained, and said, if you want to throw it, throw it, but we don't think that you can. They do the exact same thing to Jalen Hurts. I don't think they're getting 9 sacks again, but they can go get 4 or 5, disrupt the timing. And we all know that if Jalen Hurts has his timing disrupted, he's going to start noodle arming that thing around the football field. The Rams just run the exact same defense they ran against Sam Darnold last week, and they are beating Philadelphia.
Only worry, and this is because I grew up in the Midwest, and this is everything that I believe in, and it's in my blood, and it's what we took pride in. It's a West Coast team going to a very cold city where it could be freezing rain, and that always, always goes towards Philly. It goes towards the East Coast. It goes towards the Midwest. As a Midwest kid, when we got that West Coast team and it was chilly, we were smiling ear to ear going, oh my God, that first hit's going to feel so good and hurt you so bad. That's the biggest worry I have in that, though. That being said, I did bet the Rams to win this game. I know Saquon kind of owned the Rams last time. He averaged, by the way, a first down a carry. He averaged 9.8 yards a carry that first matchup. That's insane.
Sorry, I don't mean to interject here. Week 1 through 7 Rams and week 8 through today
different.
Rams.
Yeah.
That's two different football teams, dude.
Two different. Yeah. And that front has been insanely dangerous. And that's why I think it's probably going to be a closer to a lower scoring game, because as good as their front is, the Eagles' front's also insane. Jalen Carter is a nightmare. And I think he's going to cause some damage to Stafford and company. Jalen Hurts looked terrible last game. And I think the Rams are also going to commit everything in their power to stopping Saquon Barkley. Like, if you don't think they're watching from the whole time going, we just have to slow this guy down in order to win this football game and force Jalen Hurts to find an A.J. Brown who's reading a book somewhere. Maybe it's, you know, Harry Potter or something. That would be the way they find their way to take home a victory. I like the Rams in this spot. I like it in the game, a Stafford revenge game. The only thing that worries me, man, is literally that weather. And it's that West Coast going to the East Coast and, you know, getting bodied by the cold. But
did you just disparage Harry Potter?
I'm not a Harry Potter guy. I think Harry Potter stinks.
Okay. All right.
You know how this would?
He's wrong about something else.
You know how this wouldn't be a problem?
I never liked it. What?
If every NFL stadium was domed?
No. Are you? Okay, good. I like how
No. This is a gentle Florida boy who doesn't understand what it's like
to be in Mario.
The real elements.
Hey, Mario.
It is gentle Florida boy.
Hey, Mario. Ask Lonzo, ask Lonzo where he's from.
Where are you from, Lonzo?
Yeah, I'm from Ohio. Uh-huh, and yeah, I moved here because of the snow.
Now ask him why he lives here.
Your argument doesn't make sense. I moved here because of the snow, because I know what a problem it is. And we're talking about the problem of snow for people from the West Coast or warm weather be going to play there. That proves my point. It doesn't go against my point.
Also, don't, like that, that's a part of the game.
No! No, it's not. If it was part of the game, then we would have no domes, and we'd put snow machines up there so that we could go, look, it's part of the game, but we don't do that because it's not part of the game. Part of the game is run, block, tackle, catch, etc.
Do you want a dome? You want a dome in every baseball stadium too?
I mean, yes, but that's not going to
happen.
Wow,
look how the intensity went down. Also,
wait
a minute, Mario. Quick, when's the last Baseball World Series that was played in the snow or the rain? We don't. We go, this makes the game suck, so we're not going to do it. We'll play tomorrow.
Or their SAWFT.
You left the snow!
Yeah. I'm also not playing. Again.
You left it. You said that I'm not built like this.
That's right. That's how difficult it is. That's what an advantage it is if you are a football player in the snow.
Yep.
You know that thing where you did – please stop doing it. That thing where you did all the – I'm going to clip the video and put a bunch of bees buzzing where you're doing that thing with your hands. It's going to be amazing. You know,
okay, I got it.
I'll make it into a reel.
The next time there's a game, let's release a bunch of bees onto the field and see who's better at playing in that. That's nature.
Have you ever played a football game in the snow?
No.
It's not that bad. It's really not that bad.
It's a lot of fun.
Listen to me.
You get used to it after 2 minutes.
Listen.
You get used to it.
Stop trying to swing your junk around. All right? It ain't about that. All right? It ain't about, it's cool. No. It's about the fact that if I'm an offense, that's predicated on passing the ball in precision and timing, and the ball is snowy and cold, then my football team isn't as good at that anymore. I don't want to see who stays warm the best, Mario. I want to see who the best football team is. I don't want to see who can hold on to wet leather better. I want to see who the best football team is. And in the snow and the cold, you don't get to see who the best team is. You get to see who's better at wearing jackets. And that's booty cheeks.
Lazo's on fire. He's on fire today.
Mm-hmm. Lonzo left the snow because he knows it sucks. All right? He can say whatever he wants to say. That right there ends the argument. If the snow was so much cool fun, he'd have stayed in Ohio.
By the way, Lonzo's 56 years old. It is the law. You have to move south at a certain age from Ohio or Michigan. You have to. Usually to Florida. But I haven't made it that far yet.
Yeah, I do know more people from Ohio than like any other northern state. That's true. Hayden asked Mario, Mario Heron. You can hear him every night, every weeknight on BetMGM tonight on this and find Odyssey stations around the world. Big Dog, enjoy the weekend. I hope it snows so much you can't do anything, and I hope you pretend like you enjoy it.
I do enjoy it because you have to get through the winter to get to the summer. It's called a grind. Love it. Love the grind. And but, stay tuned for tonight. We have Jay Gruden on at 7:20.
Nice. That's a get. Like that. Yeah, good job.
Pretty excited.
I taught Mario everything he knows. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Wrapping up the radio program, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, 844-326-3663. If you want to sneak a text in here in the end of the program, you're welcome to. Texter said, Jersey Joe has played a high school football game in the snow up in Jersey. And look where Jersey Joe lives now, in the not snow.
Still, what you're trying to do is it's not work.
Say that snow sucks and makes everything worse, and you all know it, and that's why you all live here? That is correct.
Jersey Joe, like me, old.
Basically, you have all hit the spot where you're like, snow's awesome as long as it's happening to other people, which...
When I was young and played in the snow, it was amazing. It was also, I could see where it's an amazing advantage. I, no longer young.
Dude, I used to go snow skiing. I used to go snowboarding. It's one of my favorite things on the planet to do.
We know you're a 1%.
You'll notice that all of those things have the word snow in them because they're snow-centric. Football's not. We don't call it snowball. That'd be a dumb thing to call it. No. Texas said the 1997 World Series had snow flurries in Cleveland. The difference between... There's a flurry and it's playing the game in the snow.
All right. Here's another case where you're definitely a contrarian, like what you try to project me to be. But that's what projection's about. You get to spend a lot of time on national shows. How many national hosts agree with you?
At least a couple. Oh, God. Who was it? One of the big...
You would think you would remember the names right off the top of the head.
One of the big heads. And I want to say either it was Patrick or Eisen had the exact same take as me. Like, I want to see the best football players win.
Yeah,
not-
I doubt it was Eisen, which you can hear Monday through Friday right here, 12 to 3 on the Fan. I doubt it was him because he's a Michigan guy.
I will do the research at one of the, it may have been Patrick then, one of the big talking heads somewhere had the exact same take as me. I'm going to find out who it was.
Yeah, you need to research that so we can find out who else is wrong. All right, the first thing that's X-ing today is Tyler Hero.
Did he get thrown into the ground like a child for a second time this season?
No, I think he's had his third over 30-point game.
Tyler Hero's kind of a dog, dude.
Yeah.
Tyler Hero's kind of a dog. Like, he got his ass whooped a couple of weeks
also,
ago.
And I don't know if it's recent or not, but when I was looking at why I was X-ing, He had the handles against LeBron, and it was ugly.
He has been in it with LeBron. He has gotten into it with, God, now I forgot who it was 2 weeks ago. I think it was a Pacers game, but he got, so somebody came up, they got into it. Dude grabbed his jersey, though, and flung him, like full hip and body turn, flung him. He went sliding across the court. I was like, oh, that one's going to sting
for
a minute.
You misunderstood what I said. He, like, broke LeBron's ankles. That type
of
thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, I got
talking about handles as far as how he handles the ball and just not handling, grabbing someone and doing that thing. So anyway, just check that out. It's pretty cool. All right, the next thing it's asking is John Carpenter.
I got nothing.
Do you know who John Carpenter is?
I feel like I do.
Wow, this hurts. This really does. All right, today's his birthday. He's 77. He directed and directed the original Halloween, The Thing.
I'm not a horror guy.
The Thing with Kurt Russell.
Yep.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Dream House Nightmare.
The Fog.
Serial Suburbia.
You're picking a bunch of things that weren't hits. I'm picking all hits.
The point here is I don't do horror, so he's not in my sphere.
All right. My heart hurts that you don't know who John Carpenter
is. I'm not a horror guy.
That's okay. Even people who aren't a horror guy, they know the movie Halloween.
I mean, I know what Halloween is, but I can't tell you anything
other. I know what it meant to the genre. It was like the beginning of it.
Again, yeah, okay. I know the movie. I know the killer. I know the slasher. Like, I know Jamie Lee Curtis was in it. I know all of the details, but I don't know the director, producer of that movie. Who wrote and directed Basketball, one of my favorite movies of all time? It's not in your wheelhouse. You're not going to know that.
So it's the guys who from South Park, right?
Okay, maybe you know it, but that's not the point.
Yeah, I just don't remember the names because I can't remember names.
Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
Okay, all right. I know the names now that you said them. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Skeleton Crew.
Season 2 approved?
Final episode aired this week.
Okay, gotcha.
Season 2 is up in the air. I'm guessing you haven't watched any of them.
I haven't yet. Here's why. I am burning through Shrinking on Apple Plus with the lady, and I am 4 episodes deep in Creature Commandos now on my solo watch. Like, we both have, at any given point, a show we watch together, and then we both have a show that we watch on our own whenever we're not together. I'm burning through Creature Commandos now, and Skeleton Crew, I have heard nothing but good about it so far.
I will say there's a few minor things, but for the most part, the best thing that Disney's done in a while.
Yeah.
All right, last thing. We'll have to talk about Creature Commandos off the air. The last thing that is Xing is Diddy Dunn.
That dude, Diddy conspiracy theories that are floating around now are absolutely wild.
Wendy Williams just was on a talk show and says she knows so many things.
She's had some weird stuff going on in her life.
She does.
Yeah,
and maybe some of it's because of what Diddy does.
Yeah, that's one of the conspiracy theories. Jamie Foxx had some weird stuff going on, and he, like, what, are you going to coma for like 20 days or
you
something?
You mean the clone?
Yeah, there's like weird stuff.
No, I think somebody said that he's actually a clone. I think Cat Williams may have said that. But anyway.
I think Cat Williams is going off the deep end on me a little bit too.
Dude was right about a lot of things.
It's interesting stuff. All right, that's it for us. We got a split. Thanks for being here. Have a great rest of your day. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. It's the Fan Upstate.